Okay, good morning, Shalom Aleichem. We're discussing today Parsha Perspectives on Parsha Shoftim. What does God, I purposely have a hyphen there, H-A-T-E. It's not a word that I like using so much. What does God hate? And it's fascinating. If you go through the Torah and you want to learn about a Kadosh Baruch Hu, like what does God really hate? I'm not sure how many things are on that list that the Torah explicitly says that God hates this. Right? What's on that list of things that God hates?
If the Torah uses the word abomination,
right?
Does that mean he hates it?
So famously, there's one prohibition. There's many other prohibitions where the Torah says that God, it's a to'eva, it's an abomination. Right. I don't think the Torah uses the word right hate over there by avodah zarah gilui shefichas damim. To'eva is used by homosexuality. That's a different, and also by not using the proper weights and scales. Same to'eva. So what does it mean? It's a big discussion, not for now, but I don't know if that's a weaker word than hate. It's a different word than hate. But it's definitely different than H-A-T-E. What does it mean that God hates something, and what does God hate? Abhor, right, to'eva, it's different. Yes?
I'm always challenged.
Okay, so what does God hate? Let's look right now. Let's look at the psukim. What? Did God hate Esav? Where does it say that?
If he hated him, why did he create him?
Right? I think there's a great medrash that says that God, right, we know Pirkei Avos says, Ezehu Ashir, no, what's he? Hasameach Bichelko. Right? Who is the wealthy? The one that, you know, is appreciative, is happy with what they have. So the Medrash says that God is also Sameach Bechelko.
What's that?
God is also Sameach Bechelko. Now, what is it? Who's his chelek? Us.
I'm Yisrael.
Well, really, I think humanity. All the entire world. Right? The entire world. And he's Sameach Bechelko. Kadosh Baruch Hu is happy with everybody, where they are, what they're doing, Kadosh Baruch Hu on some level, Tzelon Lukim, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu is happy. So here, with who they are, where they are, obviously Kadosh Baruch Hu wants more from all of us, right? But that's what we discussed yesterday with the Nesibah Shalom Shir. So all the way in the beginning of our parasha, in Rishon, the Torah says the following. Shoftim v'shoftim titan lecha. The Torah tells us and commands us to establish judges and bati din in every single community. That is a mitzvah from the Torah, according to many of the Rishonim. Bechol she'arecha, every one of our gates, means every municipality requires their own adjudication system. I don't know if that means big state, small state. That's a good, nice discussion. What the Torah would say about that. V'shvatecha, every single shevet, v'shaftu etzah mishpat tzedek, and there's a commandment that every single judge must pursue righteousness. Tzedek, tzedek, tirdof. And then, after discussing all of the rules about adjudication, the Torah says, v'lo tachim lecha matseva. You're not allowed to have a matseva. A matseva? What's a matseva? How would you define that word? A monument?
But it's a vaydezor.
Okay, so what is a monument? You can't have this. Asher Sanei Hashem Elokecha. God hates Matzevas. God hates. He hates Matzevas. Whoa. Like, what's so bad? Like, what did the Matzeva ever do to God? Right?
So how do you put a Matzeva up for a dead person?
Great. And, you know, I'll tell you that I didn't realize this at first, but some poskim deal with this. They say, hey, that's a Matzeva. We go to unveiling. By the way, in Europe, they didn't have unveilings that we have today with formality. They put up the stone. But today, it could be it came from the people in America are doing it. We did it too.
I think there are groups that don't do a whole thing. They just put it off.
Right. A lot of it is rooted in minhag. That's why if you go to one officiated by one rav, and you go to one officiated by a different rav, they're going to look very different. Right, because it's all rooted in minhag. The notion of having a matseva, having that stone, that is an ancient minhag. That comes from Rachel Yemenu, Yaakov Rachel Imenu. Rachel died in childbirth. Yaakov, right, Baderech, Derech Beis Lechem, and Yaakovinu established, you know, they buried her there and put a Matzeves Rachel there, that is Kever Rachel, that we know today, was established by Yaakov Avinu. Now, the whole fortress that it's in right now with the base medrash of Kever Rachel, that came much, much later. And every single time I feel like I go there, the walls get thicker and thicker, right? Unfortunately. So that's a fair question. We call it a matseva. So the poskim talk about, is that the right word? The basic answer to that question is it's probably not the same word, right? We're just using a modern Hebrew word, but that's not what the Torah is referring to over here. But Rav Yosef, the Tzitz Eliezer, and others I saw this morning discuss that relationship.
So by Rachel Amenu, they didn't use the word matseva?
No, they did. We'll see the psukim inside.
Okay.
So it comes from there. Maybe Jerry asked a question. Right, so then why?
That's a matseva, this is a matseva.
Good, yes.
So to me, this is how I see it. I don't see the world as everybody else does, but to me, there's a footstone and there's a headstone, right?
Yeah.
So if you want to have a marker, if you have something on the ground, I would say that's a matseva.
Yeah.
But putting up these things that stand erect,
yeah,
you could say that's a monument, I mean, to a certain degree. But having just something on the ground, and how did that evolve? And it was some people I know, my in-laws, they only have something on the ground, right? And I know about my parents.
Go to some cemeteries now where they have like this picture. Hmm. You see those?
Yeah.
A lot of the Russians.
Yeah, but, exactly. Yeah, it's a very Russian thing. Yeah. I don't know.
But how did this whole thing evolve?
It's a good discussion. Maybe we'll discuss it soon. Ramosha is going to ask Jerry's question. It is called the same thing. Matseva. So we'll see what Ramosha says about that. And we'll come back to that at the end of this year. So, lo takim lecha matseva asher saneh l'Hashem Elokecha. You can't make a matseva because God hates a matzeva. So what is a matzeva? Let's just look at the Ramban. Look at source 6, verse in the Ramban. The Ramban says there's a difference, right? We have a mizbeach and we have a matzeva. Matzeva referring to here is not just the matzeva as a monument, but it's something that's used in the service of worship, right? To bring sacrifices on. The Ramban writes, Karpirshu Rabu Seinu, what's the difference? Matseva is one rock. Evan achas. It's one stone. Versus a mizbeach is avanim harbe. It's many stones. Okay? One big rock versus many rocks put together. Okay? Matseva, mizbeach, both used in the worship of sacrifice. Right? Which one? Depends on one rock or many, one big boulder versus numerous rocks. Okay? So now, with that in mind, why does God hate this so much? The Kedushas Levi and the Mor Vashem is two of our Chassidish Rebbis say something really, really beautiful here. Very, very similar idea. We'll look at it first in the Mor Vashem is in Source 3. He says the following, V'achar zeh romez lanu akasav od inyon acher lahargish al yado kotzir yad havoda. This pasuk is to remind us of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki ene agever asher hakam al v'nachon libo b'avodas boro. The person that, you know, affixes themselves to service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to working on themselves and their personal avodas Hashem. Ra'oi sheyala b'ma'alos gavoa me'al gavoa. Our job as Jews is to always look for opportunities to continue to grow. U'lohosif yom yom sheyseicha v'amitz. To increase our connection, engagement, and relationship with Hashem and His Torah, each and every day. Achen ha'ish asher yisha'er nitzav matzav echad. Right? He says, where does the word matzeva come from? From the word matzav. What does matzav mean? Or nitzav, it means to stand erect. Right? Not move.
Attention.
Thank you. Thank you, chaplain. So, utfilaso hayom kitmoshel shom b'li tosefet. If you're davening today, it is the same like you're davening yesterday. It's not a good sign. You're not feeling it. You're not doing it well. Every single day, we need to grow. God hates, H-A-T, he hates when people put their life in cruise control. People say, hey, I'll put out cruise control. I'll just, you know, see, you know, let me just go straight down the highway. I'll cruise it. I'll put on the tefillin. I'll do all the mitzvos, but I'm not going to look for any deeper meaning. I'm not going to look to continue to grow. Lo dachin lecha matzivan, Mor Vashemesh says, that is something that God hates.
But there's
doesn't
some
appreciate
that.
Them.
They can't.
Oh, we are all human. We are all human. We all make mistakes. We all mess up. We all falter. That's right. But right, people make fall seven times. We get up. The goal is, what's our mindset? Is our mindset to put on cruise control, or is mindset to slowly increase the gas every single day a little bit further in our avodas Hashem? That's the thing. Where's our mindset? And we are a Beinoni. At this time of the year, we talk about Tzadikim, Rishayim, Beinonim. Beinonim, the difference between a Beinoni and not a Beinoni. Beinoni is a wishy-washy type of guy, right? Okay, some days I'll hit it. Sometimes I won't. I'll get it right. I won't get it right. I'll come on time. I won't come on time. But a Tzadik is not somebody that gets it right every single time. It's somebody that is trying to get it right every single time and tries to work off their past experiences to continue to grow. The Kedushas Levi basically says the same idea. Lo takim lacha matzeva. Lacha, he says, our lives should not be like a matzeva. You could look at it inside it. He doesn't say it in those exact words. That's more or less what he is saying here. He quotes that he has a beautiful pshat in a pasuk from Pirkei Avos. Yes, question?
Yeah, didn't Yaakov kind of do that when he got older? He kind of said, like, I want to go on cruise control. I mean, I think,
yeah.
Look at the life that I had. I had such headaches in my life. I had enough already. I need to get
off. B.K. Yaakov Leshe Beshalva. Right? B.K. Yaakov Leshe Beshalva. And what happened? Right? The rogues El Shal Yosef, Rashi says in the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev. I forgot who it was. I don't remember. Maybe it's in Netziv. But in Parshas Shemos, when Moshe by the burning bush, 30, Rabbi Yudin said 7 days, some Midrashim say 30 days they argued back and forth. What was the argument of Moshe? God, right? God came to you and said, I need you. And God says, no.
He didn't want you.
So why?
He felt that he was not
maybe Aaron, he's going to feel bad. Yeah, Eliyahu Navi. Yeah. So some say humble. Very practically, he was humble. He was 80 years old. 80 years old. I grew up in Paris Palace. I had some great experiences there. I met unbelievable people. I killed a Mitzri. I ran away. I defended my people. Now I'm married. I have some children. You know, I'm enjoying my life as a shepherd. I'm retired. What do I need anymore? I'm done. So God didn't ask him just for a consulting gig. He said, I need you back full time. Right? And that's really what we're doing here. This is work. Right? Don't say you're retired. I go to work in the mornings. I get to learn a little bit. You know? That now was a taina of Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm done. Because Baruch Hu says, you're not done. And think about it. Without those last 40 years of Moshe's life, would we know who he was? Right? He would just be another person throughout the annals of history. We wouldn't know who he was. We would have no clue who Moshe Rabbeinu was. And Baruch Hashem obviously accepted the mission, and the rest is history.
So Rabbi, what you got to do is teach the young people today that old people still have functionality, that they shouldn't discard them.
God forbid.
No, I'm just saying.
Well,
in the world today, not saying anything.
Not functionality.
You.
I think that's even a weak word.
They should
wisdom, experience.
Right.
You know?
Sometimes it's not like that.
So the problem with all we're saying is only if we understand this pasuk in a vacuum does all of this make sense. If we just look at the pasuk in Shoftim on its own standalone, Kedusha Slavi, Mor Vashemesh, beautiful idea. But there's a big problem with that. And that begins in Source 4. Source 4 brings us all the way back to Parshas Vayetze. Parshas Vayetze, Yaakov is on the run. I thought you were going to bring this up when you said Yaakov. Yaakov is on the run. Yaakov is running away from his brother Esav, which God, I think, loves. But Neil argues that God hates. I'm picking on you. Okay, maybe. So, and anyway, I think it really means that God would hate his actions, not him. And that's a big, it's a big point in education and parenting also, is that when we say, we don't say, you're such a, right? You're such a bully, or like, you're making bad choices, right? What you said is hurtful. This way you're separating the choice or the action from the person himself or herself. And it's really, you know, otherwise what happens? A person thinks that that's who they are. I am a bully. I am a, you know, I'm only, right, good at math. I'm not, you know, great at science or Chumash or Navi. This is who I am, right? You work hard in math, but if you worked hard in something else, you also can do it. So Parshat Vayetze, Yaakov is running away. He spends 14 years in Shein Ve'Ever, and finally he's exhausted and he falls asleep at the Makom HaMikdash. Vayira, he wakes up, he has his whole dream with the angels going up and down the ladders. He wakes up and he says, whoa, I did not know where I was, right? Anochi lo yadati, that this is Beis Elokim v'zeh Shaar Shemayim. And what does he do? Pasuk Yud Ches, Perek Chav Ches in Bereishis, Vayishkem Yaakov Avoker, Vayikach es ha'evan asher sham me'ra ashosav. Remember, Yaakov Avinu fell asleep on one rock. It was 12 rocks combined into one rock. He took that one Evan, Vayasem Osa Matseva, and he made it into a Matseva, Vayitzok Shemen Al Rosha, and he put oil on his, you know, on his head. So he made a Matseva, and at the Matseva,
where did he
right,
get the Shemen from?
Ooh, it's a good question. Why is it a good question? It's even a better question because the Medrash says that Eliphaz took everything away from him, right? That's why Yaakov was like poor. Like he like killed him because he took away all his money. So where did he have this oil? It's a very good question. I saw one obscure Medrash that said that Yaakov had like a walking stick.
Right?
Had a walking stick. And in his walking stick, he had like a secret compartment which had oil. Okay, some of us maybe would have some scotch, right, vodka, right, bourbon. I don't know. He had oil. So he takes the oil, you know, anoints himself in the oil, and he makes a matzeva. And he calls this place Beit El. This is the famous Beit El. It's a big discussion today, modern archaeology, where that place exactly is. Maybe we know where it is, maybe we don't know where it is, etc.
But the Al Rosha meant he put the oil on the matzevas.
You're right. Sorry, Al Rosha. You're right. I said it, Al Rosha. Al Rosha, he put it on the rock. Like, again, like a libation.
He's anointing the matzevas.
Yes, you're right. And Yaakov swore at that moment to get closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu, if God protects me where I am, right? Ve'evan azoz ha'shasanti matzeva yeh beis elokim, cholashir titen li aser aser nulach, and this rock, this matzeva, shall be a, you know, be there forever and be a beis elokim. That's okay. So Yaakov made a matzeva. Isn't that a problem? No. Yaakov made a matzeva. We just said, right, a few, you know, toward the end of the Torah, it all of a sudden becomes a problem. Yaakov made a matzeva, and if you look at source 5, Har Sinai, the greatest moment of revelation in Jewish history. What happened at the end of Har Sinai? Moshe Rabbeinu makes a matzeva as well. So, no? So, Shnei Mesrei Matzeva, the Shnei Mesar Shiftei Yisrael. He made 12 matzevas. Moshe makes 12 matzevas. Yaakov makes a matzeva. You'll see also in the end of Vayetze, they make a matzeva together with, he makes a matzeva together with Lavan. By the way, there's a lot of connections with Yaakov and rocks in general. I know my pet rock, but Yaakov had a lot of rocks throughout history. It's very interesting. Just a side point here, but what's the difference? Yaakov, Moshe, even, we'll see Rashi in a minute, is going to say Avram Yitzchak also made matzevas. Maybe it's not so clear in the Pesukim. Versus our Pasuk, which says God hates matzevas. Go ahead, Jerry.
Couldn't we read our Pasuk, Lo sakim lecha matzeva? You shouldn't make for yourself a matzeva, asher sonei Hashem alokecha, which hates the Lord your God. In other words, don't make up matzeva, which doesn't do good things for God, because it comes right after the fact, you know, you get rid of the Asherah and stuff. So maybe the Asher Sonei Hashem Elokecha is referring to the Matseva.
Oh, so maybe if you, it's referring to a certain type of Matseva.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
all Matsevas are bad.
Which is anti-God.
Don't paint all the Matsevas with one stroke. There's different types of Matsevas.
It's the functionality.
I think that...
One second, Michael.
Has to be,
yeah.
It has to be within the content of that pasuk.
Yeah.
You have a Matseva where you put down, this is a plaque where a nest happened, where I saw Hashem, where a miracle happened, where this... Where Hashem told me with the ladder with the
so that type of matzah l'shem Hashem it's okay l'shem Hashem it's okay
that yeah. the avoid the zohar that we did later on that the malach Melech Menashe puts up a matzeva in the Bet Hamikdash itself
that's bad so it depends what it's for Michael what do you think.
I think after giving the Torah for the Avos, Matzevos are okay.
Yeah. For the Avos.
For the Torah.
Meaning Michael saying. Good, good, good.
Before giving the Torah, Hashem liked the Matzevos more than just the day. Because we like the Matzevos. Afterwards,
ooh, okay. Okay. So Michael saying that it depends when. Depends when. Back in the day, matzevas were fine. Like you say always like, why are you being so machmir? Back in the day, that was totally... Back in the day, matzevas are fine. Nowadays, they're not just not fine, they're hated. So, Jay is saying...
Is it telling Israel as much as obelisks?
Yeah.
Go back to the time of Avraham Avinu.
Yeah.
Definitely not. It's like he went to sacrifice.
Okay, let's look at source 7. Let's look at source 7. Rashi in our parsha. Michael read ahead. Rashi in our parsha, second line in this source. Asher Sane, Mizbach Avanim, Mizbach Adamat Zivalasos. God commanded us not to make a matzeva, but to make a Mizbeach. Vedzu Sane, Kichok Haisal Kananim. God hates the matzeva because it was done by the Kananim. Ve'afa pisha haisa ahuva lo bimeha avos. Even though God loved matzevas in the time of the avos, right? Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov made matzevas. Me'achar sha'asuhu elu. After it was used for idolatry, chok l'avodah zarah. It becomes like avodah zarah. And now it's Aser. Now this is this Rashi says, it's a Medrash, and also Tosfos, says in Maseches Avodah Zarah as well. Why is this interesting? Why is it interesting? Because this opens up a Pandora's box to like ask that question. It was okay then, other people started doing it, now it's bad. Why? Go ahead. Go ahead.
The matzevos became very popular with Canaan.
Yes.
Every individual, you can't imagine that, I can't imagine that, that every individual guy built himself a matzevos. Everywhere.
Yeah.
You look every single place. So there was no good way to confront it except saying, okay, how to.
Right.
Get rid of them and so on. And there, were fewer, and even though they used the dolls to bring the Kanani, they used the dolls to bring the Koranos.
Right.
They were allowed because Catholic people were
sampled. Right. Right. So
that's the difference.
Right, so Michael's suggesting that the difference is that it became very Matzeva became very popular amongst the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and because people bringing their personal korbanos there, and that's why it became usher later on.
You have been not
right. So, but the truth is though, Kodem, before we had a Mishkan, or even when we had a Mishkan, you're allowed to bring certain, before we had the Beis Hamikdash, you were allowed to bring some korbanos in your backyard if you had a bama. If you had a bama. Right, there are three. There's a mizbeach, matzeva, and a bama. And that's, I'm not, I don't want to go there, but that is something interesting to explore. For Moshe Feinstein, I'd like to suggest three different, not suggest, but share with you three different answers to this question. For Moshe Feinstein asks it the following way. He says, Yaakov made two matzevas in his life, or two different types of matzevas. Matzeva number one was for God, right? Like a korbanos worship type of matzeva. And the second one was for his wife,
to know
Rachel.
To know where she was born.
Right.
But it wasn't only for her. There,
right, so he says, and then he quotes Rashi. He says, what's going on here? It was love then, it doesn't work now. What's the difference? So I'm in source 10, first column, second to last line. V'nachon lani estayiti, dekoda matan Torah, shaloha yu mechuyavim b'mitzvos. So page 2. Yachol adon litbo escharo al ha'avar. Now, Ramosha says something very philosophically very, very interesting. He says, before Matan Torah, that's when things changed. Before Matan Torah, we were not commanded to do mitzvos. So if a Jew went ahead and did a mitzvah, you could go ahead to God and say to God, I want my reward. I want it now. I didn't have to do this. I did it for you anyway. I want schar. Okay? I could see like my kids saying this, right? Like, you didn't ask me to clean up the kitchen. I did it anyway. What do I get, right? So then you're magia lacha to get something. Aval achar matan Torah, shemechuyavim b'mitzvos, enu yochol litbo mitzad ha'avar, shekvar hutzav huka. But once God commanded us, the all 613 mitzvos after Matan Torah, we are in the state of commandedness, and we cannot ask God for payment for his mitzvos in this world. Because we're obligated to do mitzvos our entire lives, from the moment we are born until the moment we take our last breath.
But I thought the reward is greater overall. Isn't the reward greater when you're commanded versus not commanded? Because even you see with Abraham, right?
So
he waited until he got commanded to do the bris.
Ah, okay, so it's a fair question. Right. But Abraham maybe had a personal commandment on that, but right. Other mitzvos, they gave Shabbos, and they did their machnas orchim and mevakir cholim.
Maybe the overall reward is greater, but you can't ask, you can't demand payment.
But now listen, this is great, and that is determined based that. How does he see that? For the word matzeva, it comes from the word matzav, standing straight, right? You can't move, right? So now I can't get anything for my reward until when? After somebody passes away. Until you finished all of your actions,
yes.
Until somebody is in olam haemes, avalachar petira saadam shekvar asak b'maisim tovim kol yamav. A person lived their entire life doing mitzvos, chasing after chesed. V'yoser ein mechuyav ein shayach l'kayim. Right at this point, are they obligated to do anything else? No. No more. That's why the Vilna Gaon was crying on his deathbed. The Vilna Gaon was crying, they say the story about the Vilna Gaon, he was crying at his deathbed, holding his tzitzis. And he said, what's the matter, Rebbe? He said, are they kosher? What's going on? He said, for a few kopecks in this world, I can get all the mahabba in the next world. In a few moments, I'm going to pass on, going to die, and no longer can that happen anymore. I'm crying over the scar that I'm getting right now. At this point, we erect a matzeva when somebody passes away, where they're buried, to show that at this point they can accrue and receive their reward all of their hard work in this world. And he says not only they receive the award, but who else? The children, the progeny, receives also. That's why the matseva is there, right? That's the matseva of yesteryear turned into the matseva that we use at the kavura. At the cemetery. Very, very interesting. Philosophically, has a lot of different components to unpack over here. Rav Hirsch shares a different idea. Rav Hirsch writes, Matseva. What's a matseva? Look at the first line. This is like the Ramban. It's a stone taken from God's creation, which represents a memorial to that which God has done for us in nature and history. Right? Ramban says, matseva is one large boulder. One big rock. Whereas a mizbech is many rocks. He says a matseva is taking God's creation as is and using it to serve God. What's a mizbeach? It represents using God's nature, using God's world, but human initiative. You're taking many things that God created, a lot of rocks, and putting them together to create a structure. It's meant to represent the devotion of human activity to God. A difference in which we believe we could see why matseva, which had been ahuva le'avos, was expressed here as being snua labanim. It was hated, it was beloved to the avos, it's hated now by us, the children. Before Matan Torah, it was above all the rule of God in nature and history, which had to be recognized in its exclusiveness in the minds of men. And no complete individual in national life existed yet, which by its submission to God's Torah was to be a manifestation of homage to God. Up until Matan Torah, everything was God. God was the show. Right? Think about the miracles. Right? It was all about establishing God's sovereignty and oneness in this world. And that's represented by the matseva, the one rock, not touching nature, not touching God's world, and using that to elevate the world itself and to get us closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. But with Matan Torah, the matseva concept is not only included in, but absorbed by the mizbeach, but the matseva becomes sinful. Because what's our job now? Our job is to create God's world and to partner with Him. To partner with God in His world and to create things together. That's the difference between a mizbeach and a matseva. That's what Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted from us and continues to want from us and Matan Torah. And Matan Torah. Of course, we have to revel and appreciate all of God's creations. That's not a question, right? But there's a balance here that when it comes to now our service of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, He wants our input. He doesn't want us to be passive participants. Yetzias Mitzrayim, Matan Torah, we were more or less, you can argue, we were passive in a lot of ways up until Matan Torah. God doesn't want that anymore. He wants us to be actively engaged in our service of God. And that is the fundamental difference between Matseva and Mizbeach. It's a beautiful idea, right? Coming up in Elul Yom Nirayim, you need to be more engaged. You need to be more, what is our personal chelak in Torah? That is the idea, the thought of Rav Hirsch. I'm going to conclude with the last idea.
And the mizbeach that we had in the Beit HaMikdash, that
Shlomo, it's not in the sources. Yeah.
Or even during the time of Moshe.
Yeah. There was a mizbeach, not a matseva.
Yes. Okay. So it was made with many rocks.
Many rocks. Yeah, that's the rule. Mizbeach avanim ta'aseli. The mizbeach in the Beis Hamikdash had to be made of many, many stones. Yes.
And you can't use a sword or anything.
Correct.
Like that.
Correct. Correct. It wasn't cut with a sword or any metal. It's cut with the shamir, with that worm. So now,
how did this explanation that matzeva is
reduced to so it doesn't address that question. Great. Great. No, it does not address that question. It does not address that question. But I want to conclude with one last idea from Rav Cook. Rav Cook's yurt site was yesterday. Rav Cook, Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Cook, his yurt site was yesterday, Gimel Elul, and Shoftim always falls out the week of his yurt site. He says something so beautiful. He says that the Avos were the foundation of the world. and you're establishing the foundation of the world and all of Torah, each one of them need to exemplify one midah. Right? Avram was Chesed, Yitzchak was Gvura, and Yaakov Tiferes, or Torah, MS, different versions, all the same idea. That they each needed, for the establishment of the nation, each one of them need to completely focus, be dedicated to one of those ideals, to build up the nation. That's represented by the Matseva. The Matseva is one stone. But us, in our life, we need to be more dynamic. It's not enough just to be the ultimate chesed Jew. We need to have tefillah. And we can't just be the one that's always just learning and dedicate. I'm only a learner. What about your chesed? What about your Torah? Right? What about the other mitzvos? What about taking care of this person or that? We need to be well-rounded, dynamic Jews. And he says that's the difference. What was loved by the Avos, because they established that in a very firm way, is hated to the Banim. Because Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be multifaceted. He wants us to work on all cylinders. The best baseball player is a, what do they call him? Anyone know? Five-tool. Thank you. Cody Bellinger? No? Okay, you think so? 6-2. Seven. A five-tool. Five-tools means that he hits on every cylinder. He's a great fielder, and he's a leader, and he can run, he can field. All he hits on every single cylinder.
Alamilas.
So too, when it comes to our avodas Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to hit on every single cylinder. Now, take this idea. Now listen to this. This is beautiful. This came from a former fair owner, Rabbi Yechiel Schaffer. He's a good friend of mine. He said, take this idea of Rav Kook. Now think about what we do at a cemetery. What's a minhag at a cemetery? We go to the cemetery, visit the kever. If you don't do this, that's fine. But most people do this. They take, what do? They take a rock and put it on the matseva. Nice. What are you doing?
It's a sign that you were there, that you visited the...
The guy needs to know. He has a ledger. Okay, check. Lap was here. What's going on? Exactly. No. What are you saying? That this person, who we love and we cared about so much in their lifetime, they didn't lead a life of just a matseva. There wasn't one connection or one way that I learned from them. I'm making their matseva into a mizbeach. Whoa, right? Such a profound idea. Using this idea of Rav Kook, this is just from Rav Yechiel, this is his idea. So beautiful. And that's what we're testifying. Like, dad, mom, right? There's not just one thing that I remember from you. There's not just one thing that I want to pass down to my children from you. There's so many different aspects and things that I've learned from your life. Your life wasn't a life of matseva, but I'm going to make it a mizbeach by living your life and learning the ideals of your legacy. And passing that down. So we learned today, what does God hate? God hates a matseva. Why does God hate a matseva? It's a very good question. So we saw the Mor Hashem says, because God wants us to grow each and every day. Our tefillah from yesterday should not be the same as it is today. We compared that to the Avos, three different approaches. Moshe has a whole idea about tzchar v'onesh. Back then, we weren't commanded. We can demand from God for our mitzvahs, reward. Nowadays, we can't. That's why that was matseva versus mizbeach. Refersh writes, God wants our human initiative and our avodas Hashem. Matseva is no initiative from man. That's completely based on God. One large stone, one large boulder. Versus the mizbeach is multi. And finally, the last idea comes from Rav Kook. Zatzal's yahrzeit was yesterday. Is God wants us to be dynamic, to work on all cylinders, to be five-tool Jews, to have multiple ways of our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's maybe why we add the rock to turn the matseva into the mizbeach. I wish everybody a wonderful day.